I'm going to do something a little different in the message today. Actually, the next few sermons will be a little different. I've never done this in the history of my working with this church. The Lord just seemed to touch my heart about it, and I checked with some help, and God seemed to bring it through and bring it all to pass. I'm going to start a series of sermons today entitled What I Believe. And what I believe about certain things. I think we need to know what we believe, why we believe it. And I'm going to start it. And then I've asked Brian to join me in this series. So he'll be helping me with sermons as we go along. In fact, I know if the Lord allows him to preach, he'll be preaching tonight. And if the Lord allows him to preach, I know what he's preaching on tonight. And I encourage you to please bring everyone that you possibly can that's not serving the Lord. You'll want them here in the service tonight. Trust me. And I know when I make a statement like that, everyone just kind of rolls their eyes and says, oh boy, here we go again. You know, a lot of folks think that because we're a community church that we don't know what we believe. Well, you might not know what you believe, but I know what I believe. There's some things we may disagree on, but there's some things we had better agree on if we're going to be saved. We have to agree on it. And this will be leading up to Easter because I'm just dumbfounded at some of the figures that I've read in recent days. How many of the folks, you'd be amazed how many preachers coming out of seminary do not even believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's a joke. I wouldn't call myself a preacher and not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. You're not a preacher. You're a money grabber. All you want is a job. This isn't a job to me. It's a calling. And today I'm going to deal with a passage of Scripture. Turn to Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. I'll read one verse here. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. Give you a minute. It's a small book. Only 9 chapters in it. If you get to Daniel, keep going toward the New Testament. Now I understand. I really do. Some folks are new converts and they're not used to going to certain passages, particular passages that are not preached from very frequently. We want to give them time to find the book of Amos. Amos chapter 8. One verse, and that'll be the 11th verse. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. Behold, the days shall come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing, what's the next phrase say? The words of the Lord. You know, I'm going to deal with the subject, what I believe about the Bible. Why I believe the Bible. Why I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I know that most folks will agree with that statement. We love to thump the pulpit and talk about the inerrancy of the Word of God and the accuracy of the Word of God. And most of you, if I ask you today, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Your response will be what? Yes. We believe that this is a light unto our path, unto our feet way, a lamp to our path. We know that. We trust it. We love it. But yet, there is a famine in the land for this blessed book we call the Bible. Abraham Lincoln said, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us throughout His book. Gladstone said, I have known 95 of the world's great men in my time. And of these, 87 were followers of the Bible. Napoleon in history said, the Bible is no mere book, but a living creature. with a power that conquers all that oppose it. Daniel Webster said, "If there is anything in my faults or style to commend, the credit is due to my parents for instilling in me an early love of the Scriptures." Horace Greeley said, listen to this, "It's impossible to enslave mentally or socially a Bible reading people." Charles Dickens said, "The New Testament is the very best book that ever was or ever will be known to the world." When the astronauts landed on the moon, one of the first things they did was they read from the Bible. Patrick Henry said, "Here is a book, the Bible, worth more than all others that have ever been printed." Benjamin Franklin said, "My advice to a young man will be to create a firm belief in the Word of God." Dwight D. Eisenhower said, "I owe my success to the Word of God." Theodore Roosevelt warned, "If a man is not familiar with the Bible, he has suffered a loss which he had better make all haste to correct." Sir Walter Scott lay dying and looked to his nephew and said, "Bring me the book." His nephew said, "What book?" And he said, "Young man, there is but one book, the Bible." The Bible is a supernatural book in its origin. It's unique in everything that's been said. Several years ago, I pinned this down in the message that I wrote about the Bible. Dan and I, we coupled up together and wrote a sermon on the wonder of the Word. And in that I pinned these words: "This book carries the message of the mind of God, the state of man, the doom of sinners, the way of salvation, the happiness of heaven, and the horrors of hell. This book's doctrine is pure, its precepts are binding, and its history is true. It will give you light to guide you, food to feed you, and comfort to cheer you. It's a mine of wealth, a river of joy, and a paradise of pleasure. We should read it slowly, we should read it frequently, and we should read it prayerfully. We should read it to be wise, practice it to be holy, and believe it to be saved. It's a pilgrim's staff, a pilot's compass, and a traveler's map. This book is an ocean over which generations of believers have sailed to safe harbors. This book is a fountain at which dying martyrs from all walks of life have cooled their faces. This book is a pillow on which all the saints of the ages have rested their heads. What would we do without this book we call the Bible? It's wonderful in the construction of it. This really is not one book. For your benefit of my preaching today, I refer to it as a book, but really it's not one book. It's 66 books under one cover. It took over 40 authors nearly 1,600 years to write this book we call the Bible. Some were shepherds, some were prophets, some were farmers, some were great people in life, some were tax collectors. They come from all walks of life, all different backgrounds. But think about this, 1,600 years in compiling what we call the Bible. It's constructed out of three languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. But yet, over 1,600 years, they take these 66 books in a 1,600 year period, bring them all together, and it's all got one thing. I challenge you to find 66 books that come together in agreement over 1,600 years. I find you to find 40 people that think the same way. The reason that it stands is because it was inspired by the Holy Ghost. And this book that we hold in our hand this morning is the most powerful tool that we have in the age we're living in to reach out to those that are lost without Christ. Not only its construction, but its preservation. Mankind has tried to stamp this book out since the beginning of time. They didn't want to hear the Word of God. And it gets worse as time goes on. People don't want to hear anything that upsets them, turns them aside. Listen to a preacher here a while back. I just got to say this. I'll probably get in trouble. He's well known. A lot of you like him, I know. But that's your problem. I used to watch him. I liked him too until I saw him on a national news interview. And they asked him, said, why is your church growing so quick? And he said, because I don't believe in fire, hell, and brimstone preaching. People don't come to church to hear they've done wrong. People want to hear about all the good things. Well, I do preach about love, and I do preach about heaven, and I do preach about joy, and I do have a good time. But by the way, I also tell you, if you're lost without Jesus Christ, you are on your way to an eternal place called hell. And yes, you should feel bad about that. Yes, it should bother you that you're not saved. I still preach and believe that the church is a place where old-time conviction can fall on the hearts of people when the Word of God is preached and something inside of them says, I've got to make a change in my life. Only the Word of God will bring that to pass. Well, we're moving on, aren't we? They've attacked it. Voltaire said, the Bible will be a short-lived book. Yet the very house that he lived in was later used to store Bibles. Thomas Paine said, within 50 years, the Bible will be a forgotten book. Yet the very press that he used to print those words from were later used to print Bibles. Glory. Bob Ingersoll sat at a desk and penned these words in his journal. I am going to put the Bible out of business. Bob Ingersoll's been dead for years, an atheist. Died an atheist. But yet, the very desk that he sat at later was owned by a Sunday school teacher, and Bible lessons were prepared each week on that desk. Let me tell you, folks, you can't ignore the Word of God. I know there's a famine for the Bible in the land we're living in, but we can't overlook the importance of the Bible. There's no other book in all the world like the Bible. No book has the power in it that this book has. That's why we need to have a firm belief in the Bible, what the Bible has to say. Well, so much for good times. Most folks know very little about the Bible. Oh, Lord, help me today. It's an amazing book. I have a little piece I keep with me. I read from time to time. It says, the Bible contains 3,566,480 letters, 773,693 words, 31,102 verses, 1,189 chapters. The longest chapter is the 119th Psalm, the shortest. And the middle chapter is the 117th Psalm. The longest name in the Bible is found in the 8th chapter of Isaiah. The word Jehovah appears 6,855 times. The 37th chapter of Isaiah and the 19th chapter of the 2nd book of Kings are alike. The longest verse in the Bible is the 9th verse of the 8th chapter of Esther. The shortest verse is John 11:35, Jesus wept. The Bible, in the 21st verse of the 7th chapter of Ezra, contains all the letters of the alphabet except the letter J, the letter that the name Jehovah begins with. The name of God is not mentioned in the book of Esther. Well, that's amazing, isn't it? You know, the Bible is true historically. The Bible records a historical account of six different empires through those 1600 years. You have the Egyptian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, and the Roman Empire. The Bible doesn't contradict history. It's accurate, historically. But you know, a lot of folks, up to this point, you can say amen to everything I've said. You'll go right along with me. You'll agree with me. You believe it's true. But now let's deal with some things that are really true about the Bible also. Most of you that are Bible believers have never read the Word of God through. Most Christians have never read the Bible through from Genesis to Revelation. We say this is our rule and practice of faith, but most people don't know what's inside of it. You know the word Bible is not found in the Bible? Now you say, preacher, why would you make a statement like that? Because people come to me constantly and they'll say something like this. Preacher, isn't it somewhere in the Bible? I don't know, is it? Do you read it? Isn't there something in the Bible about... See, that's the problem. Most people, when they read the Bible, they read the Bible for just a few reasons. One is the simple reason that they're trying to prove a point. There's something in their life that they want to prove or disprove. And they find one thing and they'll search the Scriptures to prove that one statement that they have. An issue comes up and they want to deal with that one issue and they'll search the Scriptures. Others search the Scriptures to argue the Scriptures. It's the only reason they read the Bible is to argue the Scriptures. A lot of people do not read the Bible because 21 million Americans cannot read. Now that's not what I'm saying. That's what the National Reading Institute says, that 21 million Americans, adults, for whatever reason, cannot read. The reason that they can't read could be a number of reasons. Some they lack education. Some in their life they're sick. They don't have the ability. Some they have handicaps that prevents them from reading. But even if you can't read, you can get the Bible on tape and CD and listen to the Bible regularly. But you need to know what the Bible says. We need to understand what the Word of God says. It's so important. You say, now, preacher, why would you make that statement? Well, they can't even find a statistic now on how low the number of people that have really read through the Bible. Because if you ask it publicly, people lie and raise their hand and say yes. The number one reason why people say they haven't read through the Bible is because they say, I do not have the time to read through the Bible. I am preaching today. They'll say, I don't understand what I'm reading. Well, we're going to deal with some of those things today in this sermon, how you're incorrect on that. You know, if you read anything and you don't get it the first time, what do? Read it again. And I've got news for you. You'll never understand all the Bible. I have new mysteries open to me every day. D.L. Moody one time said, when I read the Bible, God talks to me. When I pray, I talk to God. When I study, I prepare to talk to others. The average born-again Christian in America says that they read their Bible... On the average, sometime during the week, 42% of born-again Christians say they read the Bible sometime during the week. But, 4 out of 10 also say they attend church one service in the week. So 42, a little better than 4 out of 10, say that they read their Bible sometime in the week. But 4 out of 10 also say they go to church once a week. Do you know when they read their Bible? When they're at church. Oh boy, I feel God today. Lord, tear us up. I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to me, and if it fits you, wear it. I don't want to pastor a church that never grows, that stays the same, that spiritually we're on one level. There's some things that started troubling me, and I started praying about our church. I started asking God, why do people make professions of faith and then backslide so easily? Why do they quit so easily? You know what I believe the number one reason is? They don't read the Bible. Why do families break up? I better move on. Hey, why can't we see more people saved? Why can't we get that church built? Why does so much of our conversation come about with things that don't matter in life and so little revolve around the Word of God? Oh, I don't expect you to shout, but I do want to tell you something. Jesus, 11 times, said this. Someone said, well, it doesn't say you ought to read the Bible. Oh, my. Matthew 12:13, but he said unto them, have ye not read what David did? He's talking to religious leaders. Matthew 12:5, or have you not read in the law? Matthew 19:4, and he answered them and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? See, homosexuals aren't going to read the Bible. Oh, I'm going to preach today. When we started down this road of states allowing marriage among same sex, do you honestly think it's going to stop there? If we no longer define marriage as man and woman, then the next step will be bisexuals that will say, well, since it's no longer man and woman, why should it be just between two? Can't you love more than one person? Then you'll have groups that'll come along that's polygamous that'll say, well, since it's not just man and woman and it's not just two, what about 20? Boy, I am preaching. I tell you why. Because have you not read? But we depend on the laws to dictate to us instead of God's Word telling us what is right. We'll be in serious trouble. Matthew 21:6. He said, have you never read out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? Matthew 21:42. Did you ever read in the Scriptures? Matthew 22:31. Have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God? Mark 2:25, have you never read? Mark 12:10, and have you not read the Scripture? Mark 12:26, have you not read in the book of Moses? Luke 6:3, have you not read? Luke 10:26, he said unto them, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Wow. We've got some real problems. And the main problem in this country is because people are not reading the Bible. 92% of Americans have a copy of the Word of God in their home. The average home in America that has a Bible, the average home out of that 92% has 3 copies in their home. But yet it's estimated that 75 million adults say that Bible reading is important to them. But in the church, 50% of the elders read their Bible once in a typical week. That's seniors. 46% of the baby boomers. 33% of the baby busters read their Bible in a typical week. Here's something interesting for you. The King James Version is more likely to be read during the week than the NIV by a 5-to-1 ratio. I'm not getting off on that. I do have a sermon on why I believe the King James Bible. See John, he'll get it for you. Brian, they'll get it for you. 61% of adults agree that the Bible is totally accurate in all of its teaching. But yet, there's so much misunderstanding about that. 4 out of 10 adults believe that the entire Bible was written several years after Jesus had risen from the dead. The New Testament was finished. The canon of the New Testament was completed after Jesus rose. The entire Old Testament was finished when Jesus came to visit, 400 years before he came. 2 out of 3 adults know that the book of Isaiah is in the Old Testament, but 1 out of 10 believe it's in the New Testament, and 1 out of 4 said, I really don't know. 12% of professing born-again Christians said that they believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. One out of six professing Christians believe that one of the books of the New Testament is the book of Thomas, written by the Apostle Thomas. The average American reads 1.25 hours a day. They spend 30 minutes in the newspaper, 25 minutes in magazines, 20 minutes reading reports and schoolwork. Bible reading was not listed in any poll that I found. Did you know one of the problems we face? It is a reading problem. I mentioned that earlier. Do you know 50% of American adults have never read any book through completely? That's alarming. Now, when I read that, at first I thought, there's no way that could be accurate. But then I got to thinking, most people, if you're real honest, you're in a book you even enjoy reading. You'll have a time problem, and then when you get the time problem, you may read 2/3 of it, but when you run out of time and you want to know how it ends, what do? Go to the end of the book and move on. Very few teachers have the ability in a year to teach every chapter in a book. When I was in school, it wasn't uncommon at all. We'd get rushed for time and they'd have to say, we're going to skip chapter 12 and chapter 13 and move on. 57% of Americans have never read a book through entirely. When you read, according to the National Reading Institute, 200 words a minute is considered poor reading. 250 words a minute, you're a good reader. 400 words a minute is an excellent reader. Now, let's deal with the time issue. When you read the Bible at 200 words a minute, that's a poor reader. You would read the Bible through, if you'd spend an hour a day, you'd read the Bible through, how long do you think it would take you? A poor reader, an hour a day, to read the entire Bible. 2 months. 2 months. When you read the Bible through 200 words a minute at half an hour, you'd read it through in 4 months. If I counted accurately, 44 books out of the 66 in the Bible you hold in your hand are what I call short books. A poor reader could read them through in less than a half hour, an entire book. Think about that. Half hour a day, 44 days, you've read 2/3 of the Bible. Boy, it is getting quiet now, isn't it? I am convinced that the lack of the Word of God in our personal life is creating a mess in this country. It has been said, if you are an average reader and read at pulpit speed, that you can read the entire Bible through. And I took a little survey this week and last week among people that I knew would be honest with me, that had not heard any statistics and had no idea what I was asking or why I was asking. The names are not important. I asked people, how much time do you have to spend reading to read your Bible through in a year per day? How much time per day? The average answer ran from 20 minutes to an hour. Actually, if you're just an average or below average reader, it would take you in a year 70 hours and 40 minutes to read your Bible. It would take some 52 hours and 20 minutes to read the Old Testament, 18 hours and 20 minutes to read the New Testament. That breaks down to 12 minutes a day. Do you have 12 minutes a day? If you don't have 12 minutes a day, can I ask you a question as your pastor? Why not? Most of you drive, on the average, to and from work 12 minutes a day. a CD or a tape in your car 12 minutes a day, and you'll go through the Word of God in a year. Why should I read the Bible, preacher? I'm glad you asked. There's several reasons why you need to read the Bible through. First of all, Jesus commanded it. I already dealt with that. Not only did Jesus command the Word of God that we should read it through, but it is the fastest way to grow spiritually. You say, but preacher, when I read, I don't understand what I read. Well, the truth of the matter is, you will get less out of my sermon today than you will when you read this week. The lowest study I found anywhere says this, when it deals with retention, mental retention, what you read, you remember. The lowest statistic I found anywhere says that a person will retain 5% of what they hear and 10% of what they read. That means if you want to retain all of it, I'd advise you read it through 10 times. You'll pick up something, even though you don't realize you're picking it up. You'll pick it up, and it will make an image in your mind that you'll remember that. It'll be there. Not only did Jesus command it, and it's the fastest way to grow. In fact, I don't know of any way to grow any faster. We have new converts class. That's great. We have Sunday school. That's great. We preach regularly from this pulpit. All of that's great. But the fastest way for me to grow spiritually and you to grow spiritually is to read the Word of God. Second of all, it will keep you from sin. I think that a lot of folks, because they're saved and they're sanctified, they use that as an excuse not to read the Bible. But I've seen too many sanctified people sin. I've seen too many saved people sin. And you'll find out usually when you mess up, it'll be during that time that you have not spent adequate time reading the Word of God. This book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book. I'm going to tell you a little survey I've conducted myself. People that have problems in their family that have led to divorce, a lot of times, see, if you're having problems in your family, I hope you don't think I'm strange. A lot of times I'll send you out of the area to a counselor, because when you come to church, this is your safe harbor for three services a week. It's a pavilion to come into to be sheltered for a little while. And a lot of times I'll send them out of the area because this is the place you can unload all your problems. And then suddenly, if you come in and you tell me too much, and it's easy to say too much. Generally, we do talk too much. But if you say too much, then you say, oh no, the preacher knows that. And I'll never be good for anything. So, in like manner, a lot of times, I deal with a lot of people that don't come to our church, they'll never come to our church. But I started taking a little survey. The ones that their marriage just was hopeless and they broke up, I asked them this question. Do both of you read your Bible 12 minutes a day? I haven't found a couple yet that both of them read their Bible 12 minutes a day. Ouch. In fact, there is power in the Word of God. I read of a man by the name of Dr. Sung that got so ill. Ravenhill writes in his book, Meat for Men, as best I remember. In New York City, the man's name was Dr. Sung. And I read where Dr. Sung, when he got in the hospital, he requested that they bring him a Bible. He was an avid reader. He read the Bible through every 4.5 to every 6.5 days, entirely through. Every waking minute, he was in pain. Every waking minute, he read the Word of God. But after 40 days, he went out of the hospital with an incurable disease, completely healed. And do you know what he attributed it to? the power of the Word of God. Folks, I'm here to tell you, if our church, I am feeling God this morning. If we want to go to the next level in our Christian life and as a church, if we want to be known as a church that has people that are sincere and living a life of holiness, we've got to get in the Bible. Young people, if you don't get in the Bible, your youth group won't grow. Mom and Dad, if you don't stay in the Bible, you'll not grow spiritually and you'll not have an impact on your family. Our source of strength, our very lifeline, is the Word of God. We need to know what thus saith the Lord. You say, well, you're kind of accusing me of a lot of things, preacher. Hey, I'm going to make a statement to you. I don't believe you can read this book 12 minutes a day and backslide. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Oh, glory, glory. That's why people aren't moving forward. That's why their feelings overcome their faith. Because even though you're at a place where sometimes you're hit with things, it doesn't mean that you're exempt from all things. But when you're hit with things, you know what the Word of God says. I talked to my mother this week and I said, Mom, I know that it's a struggle. And she said, it just seems so hard, Cal. And I said, but isn't it amazing, Mom? All of these years we've had the Bible in our life and we've had the Word of God. And I said, even though our heart is broken and even though we can't figure things out, it might take a little while for our heart to catch up with our head, but there's something in the Word of God that says there is hope of a tree if it is cut down, that it'll spring forth a new life. There is the promise of the Word of God that them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with it. Thank God for this blessed book. Oh, we need to know what the Bible has to say. The Bible will keep you stable in an unstable world. I deal with a lot of preachers, and Brian can tell you this is a case, and I'm not picking on anyone, but it's a fact. A lot of pastors, a lot of preachers, they're way up here, and they're way down here. They're way up here, and they're way down here. They'll preach one sermon, and they'll just preach the shingles off the roof. And the next sermon, you can't hardly get them up. You know what does that? Preacher told me the other day, he said, every time I call you, you're doing all right. Because the Bible says I'm all right. I don't have to check my feelings. I have feelings like all of you. I have discouragement like all of you. But I also know the Bible says, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. The Bible says that we may go through the floods, but they'll not overtake thee. We'll be in the fire, but it won't destroy us. Thank God, the Word of God is where we build our life. It keeps you stable. I pray, if I die before you, I pray when you pass by my casket, you'll be able to say, when he got in the pulpit, when he served God, he was stable. He remained faithful. Say, well, preacher, I'm faithful. Faithful to the Bible. Another thing it does is it makes us fruitful. This is seed. And all fruit comes originally from seed. Seed is planted and a tree comes up and the fruit comes into being. Now folks, if you die lost today without Christ, it won't be because this church has failed you or anyone else has failed you. It won't be because of a certain sin in your life even. It'll be because you rejected what this book, the Bible, has to say. Let me tell you what the Bible says if you're lost today. This is why I love the Bible. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. The Bible says we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Now, to me, the word all means all. Every one of us. But the Bible also says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible also says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible says whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Fellow was on the altar last night just wooling and struggling and fighting. And in a little while I leaned over and I said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I said, did you call on His name? He said, yes. I said, I didn't say it. The preacher didn't say it. But the God of the universe, the only true and living God, said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I said, what are you according to the word of God? And he said, I'm saved. And boy, like a rocket ship, he came out of there. His life was shouting and praising God. Oh, we enjoy the emotions, but it's based on the Word of God. We're saved because the Bible says that we're saved. I don't want to stand on anything else but the Bible. It's the Bible that gives us an anchor of our soul, sure and steadfast. Without this Word, you don't have any hope. That's what the Bible says. So through this whole series, I don't want to tell you, and Brian doesn't want to tell you what we think. It's what we believe. Because there's a big difference between thinking and believing. I'll address the Christians at the close of the service. But now's a good time to invite sinners to pray and be saved.